All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And so am I.
Wow.
What's up?
Penn, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, David. So wait, are we, we are still in Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
It feels like it was 2 weeks ago. It feels to me like Thanksgiving was a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still eating from it, but it's,
You know what's cool? I mean, I'm not trying to rush anything, but the big headline is Thanksgiving related, which is, this Thanksgiving weekend in 2020, it's the biggest box office weekend we've had since March.
Whoa.
So, I mean, all right, cool.
That's rad.
That's something to be grateful for. So Croods opens at $14 million, which, in a real world would be laughable, but Hollywood is celebrating. This is our best weekend since March, and it opened bigger than Tenet. And what's really impressive about that, in my opinion, is how many theaters closed the weekend before Croods opened. The headline was literally like another 300 theaters gone, another 600 theaters closed. So the amount of theaters that contributed to that sort of new high watermark was significantly smaller. So what that tells me is we're coming along. We're getting there, coming along.
That's rad. That's super rad.
So good for Croods.
Yeah, way to go.
Did you see it?
I tried to get in, but the guys at the door were like, no. This is not for you.
I'm glad I took the extra effort to post a picture of you in the box office. So all the kids knew hey, if this Joker comes around trying to get in to see Cruz,
nah,
this movie's not for you, David.
It was a picture of me, and then how the kids described me to you once? Oh, he's always got flowers on. He always wears flowers.
But I didn't have a picture of you with your flowered shirt, so I had to hand draw flowers on the photo that I used.
Oh, that guy.
Which, by the way, the photo that I used was your Optimus Prime costume.
Perfect.
Oh man. All right, so moving from onto a little more somber note, but I mean, I think we had the same conversation. Who died last year? Was it the guy that played R2-D2 or Chewbacca or something?
I think it was R2-D2.
But anyway, what'd you say?
I think it was the guy that played R2-D2.
Yeah. So another guy who we've never heard of, even though he was one of the main characters in our favorite movies, was David Prowse, who passed away at the young age of 85 years. And this is the guy who played Darth Vader. Would you have known if I said, hey, David, who played Darth Vader? Would you know?
No. I may have recognized his photo just because I've seen it a bunch, but no, I wouldn't have known his name.
Yeah. And I always wonder, I wonder what the deal is. Did he get rich off of that? Because how much acting was involved in that role? I mean, really.
Well, originally he did the voicing, too, the vocals.
Until James Earl Jones came along.
Yeah, but they filmed it with him doing it, and then they dubbed over James Earl Jones. Because he had a thick German or Swedish accent or something.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so you can find some of the clips of him doing the original lines and stuff, and it's just not nearly as menacing.
I say, Luke, I'm your father.
He didn't have a Cockney accent.
Right, yeah, maybe he should have had a Cockney accent. What's the line where he says your faith in the force is disturbing or something? Your faith.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yes, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. What if he delivered that one with a Cockney accent? I find your lack of faith disturbing, isn't it?
Come on, Governor.
Come on, Governor. All right. Well, listen. So David Prowse, a talented actor, legendary role. Rest in peace, brother. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thing that might be resting in peace in our hearts is Godzilla vs. Kong. It's apparently, supposedly, there's a big bid war to get this movie to go to streaming. Netflix is like $200 million. HBO's all up about it. Whatever. And this isn't supposed to come out till spring or whatever. Now, WB denies there's any release changes. They say it's releasing as set for right now. But the reason this made the news is because the projected release date of this movie is far enough away that the industry has marked it as a safe space. So it's a little bit beyond, like, they're expecting kind of like vaccines to have kind of rolled out a little bit, or
gotcha.
You know, more people to be at theaters. So it's a bit unprecedented, because this movie is not one that looks to be, they're not expecting it to be a flop of any type. So, it should be safe for the theater.
Yeah.
So,
I have a confession to make.
You didn't know this movie was coming out?
No, I totally knew it was coming out.
Okay.
But, Warner's contacted me and I also put in a bid for the movie.
Oh my gosh. What'd you offer?
Being the classy guy that I am, remember when you were a kid and you're hanging out with your buddy and they wanted you to do something stupid? Or like you wanted to do something stupid and what? You'd look over. I know you never did that, but you'd like look over to your friend and you'd be like, hey, how much you give me if I jump over that puddle and splash Mrs. Fosnot? And then your buddy, like, because he doesn't have nothing. He's got, like, a frog in his pocket, like a dead toad you found an hour earlier, you know, and, like, a bottle cap and a button, you know.
Sure, yeah, go ahead. Right.
So that's the scale with which I placed my bid. I haven't heard back from Warners.
Speaking of things like that, I was watching Iron Man, which we'll talk about later, and I was watching with some 15-year-olds, and they were going on and on about, like, what's the right way to watch Marvel or this and that, and I was taking a pretty hard stance in production order, and but they kept trying to, like, one-up me with everything I said, and so finally it ended with me going, well, my dad started Marvel, so...
Classic.
Yeah, so...
There's a clip, by the way, that I should figure out. Our friend, a friend of the show, Mark Ponce, shared this with me. It's hilarious. Have you ever seen this? It's Stan Lee, and it's a clip from him in a studio talking about the F word.
Oh.
But the clip is animated, so you have like a cartoon version of Stan espousing on the value, the beauty of the F bomb. Have you ever seen this?
I saw the article for it, but I didn't watch it.
It is priceless. Okay. I'm gonna put a language warning on our little Facebook page, and then I'm gonna try to post the link if I can swing it.
Nice.
It's worth a viewing. But I also wanted to comment, since we're on the topic of studios and distribution and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I kind of got into a pissing match with Universal?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, well, I did, and it's not going great. But so it's sort of protracted, as they say. So years ago, I used to deal with this guy, and his name was Jim, and Jim Orr, O-R-R, and no relation to our dear friend of the show, Joan Orr, one of the original Penn Cinema pillars. But anyway, so this guy I dealt with, Jim, he was kind of like this vague person. I never dealt directly with him. It was always my rep would sort of reference Jim. Well, let me ask Jim, and I'll have to ask Jim what he thinks, blah, blah, blah. So I get into this incredibly bitter argument with my current sales reps, both of whom are great people, but, you know, you got to fight for, you know, your right to party. You know, that's what I'm doing. So I'm fighting for my right, and I get into it with them, and I get no meaningful answers back. You know, they're both giving me the brush off. So, which is fine. I don't hold that against them. So finally, I get into it in terms of like, listen, obviously you guys aren't the right people to talk to. Who should I be talking to about this? And the one guy says, well, you talk to Jim. So I said, all right. So that's fine. I'm waiting to hear back from Jim. That's the rest of the Universal story. But the reason why I tell this story is because I read an article about Universal and Croods and stuff, and I was a little like taken aback to find out that Jim, who used to be just some guy, is now apparently the distribution chief for Universal.
Oh.
So like, oh man, it's like you're picking a fight and you find out, like, you know, they're like, oh, you're gonna have to go fight Mike, and you're like, ah, bring him on, who's this Mike character you're talking about? And then it turns out it's like Mike Tyson or something. So now I'm completely terrified, because I don't know, I guess Jim will probably remember me, because people in this business seem to remember each other. But yeah, so he's a big shot, and now I feel like I need to approach this whole thing with a little bit. I'm glad I know now that he's not like just some punk, you know, that I can get mouthy with, because right. he's the king of the jungle.
You learned right before you made a big mistake, eh?
Yeah, yeah, thank God, because usually that's unlike me. Usually I figure that stuff out like about 20 minutes after sending the blazing email.
Exactly.
Anyway, speaking of blazing, Bill Murray has starred in many things. We recently saw him in a movie that I think we both loved called On the Rocks, which I think is still available, Netflix or whatever, Prime maybe. No, Apple TV, something like that. Bill Murray, I think, is – I hate when people say so-and-so I think is my favorite, because – either is or he isn't. Yeah, anyway, Bill Murray's one of my favorite comic – right, he's my favorite comic actor, one of my favorite actors. And the role, like many people, that I fell in love with him, where I first was like, oh, that Bill Murray is priceless, was his role in Caddyshack. And I did not know, because why would I, that Bill Murray had an older brother. And I also did not know that Bill Murray's older brother was the inspiration for his iconic role in Caddyshack. Did you know that?
I did not. Nope.
Yeah. So it was very interesting to learn that. And I'm sorry to report that Bill Murray's older brother has since died. So he recently passed away, and Bill Murray made some really interesting and thoughtful, sweet comments about his caddy brother. And I think we all know Bill Murray's a huge golf guy, like, you know, the whole family's kind of golfing. So anyway, I just thought that was, you know, first of all, obviously it's not necessarily news that Bill Murray's older brother died, but it was news to me that this was the inspiration for the legendary character from Caddyshack.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I told you I recently saw a movie about the creation of National Lampoon's, and a lot of it had to do with Caddyshack. Getting kind of shook me.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. You remember that movie, The 355?
Yeah. Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. And Lupita and Penelope Cruz. And now, do you ever read a headline and feel like maybe you're getting punked?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was reading this cast list, and the movie is called The 355. It's from the people who brought you the Bourne franchise. And it lists the high-powered female cast. And did you read this cast list? I mean, it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We watched the trailer a little while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Psyched. Totally psyched for this movie.
Yeah.
But the reason why I feel like I'm getting punked a little bit is because the last name of the star, so it stars Jessica, Lupita, Penelope Cruz, and Diane. Now, you're going to tell me – it also stars one more talented actress. But are you going to tell me this person's name is – and I'm quoting here – Fan Bing Bing? Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what that is? That's the name you come up with when you and your idiot friends go out to, like, the Bull's Head and drink a bunch of beers and sit around and talk about what would your name be if you were, like, a porn star or, like, a movie star. And then your own friend's like, I'd call myself Fan Bing Bing.
Well, there goes our Chinese market.
What? What are you talking about? Chinese? What? Why? Is she Chinese?
She's a big Chinese actress.
The fact that her first name is Fan is like a normal name.
Well,
it's not like Fanboy.
I think she goes by Bing Bing Fan.
All right, so I'm an ass.
To be a little bit, she was in X-Men Days of Future Past. And then just like a huge, she was in Iron Man 3.
So you're telling me this is a totally legitimate actress who I just totally insensitively, like, so I'm a racist jerk now.
She's been acting since 1998.
Of course she has.
This is a long IMDb list. She has...
Can we cut out this whole segment?
Such a jerk.
I hate that. I hate when you try to make fun of someone and then it turns out like you're the ass. Like the finale of Seinfeld.
You're going on. I just IMDb this girl, like all of her accomplishments.
All right, now listen. All right, but now listen. I'm not going to give up on this too easily because you got to give me credit.
Look, it is a funny name.
It's a funny name. Sorry. Listen, right. This is coming from a guy named Penn Ketchum. So, I've been having my name made fun of my entire life, and that's cool. I'm fine with it. But I just got to say, like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being insensitive, but it's a funny name. Fan Bing Bing. Bing Bing Bing. Ricochet Rabbit. You think this is it? Is this the one where we're done? Is this like?
I thought we were gonna get to 100 at least.
I say we just hang on and get to 100 no matter what.
Yeah. All right, so moving on.
Please.
Oh, the whole thing was that movie got moved to January 2020.
Oh, right. The headline is the 355 was moved from January of next month to January of 2022. Oh, so God. I have a year to become a fan of fans.
All right. So Neil Patrick Harris has joined the cast of The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Now, this is a meta action movie in vein of some of JCVD, which I don't know, but it stars Nicolas Cage. And I just copied this because I want you to hear what this movie is about. Nicolas Cage, playing himself, is hired to attend Pedro Pascal's birthday party. When things take a wildly dangerous turn, Cage is forced to live up to his own legend, channeling his most iconic and beloved on-screen characters in order to save himself and his loved ones. I mean, I gotta see this movie.
I gotta see this movie. Anytime you get the chance to see Nicolas Cage playing with himself, you gotta. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Wait, no. No, that came out.
Should we
that
just
came out wrong.
Should just can this whole episode?
No, this is all wrong. This is taking another horrible turn for the worse. Nicolas Cage playing himself.
Yeah.
A totally different thing. This is a professional actor we're talking about.
Right.
All right. Now, I wonder if it's hard to play yourself. Like, is that like, how do you resist like overact? I just want to agree with you. I absolutely want to see this movie.
Yeah.
I'm all in on this movie, especially I would have been all in on it just for the premise. But Neil Patrick Harris is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Pedro Pascal is great.
Yeah.
So,
I actually know a little bit about this movie. Did you know the original title?
No.
The current title is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, but the original title was The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, The David Moulton Story.
Yeah, it's true. I was trying to keep that on low key, but
when you have as much talent as you do, you can't keep that under wraps. You can't put a light under the basket. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Look, another thing that we can't keep down. The massive hit video game Five Nights at Freddy from 2013 is getting a movie adaptation.
And
it starts filming this spring. So no longer will you have to wait for animatronic kids restaurant things coming to life and kill people.
Phew.
I know. You were like, where's the Chuck E. Cheese story that I want?
And here, how much longer do I have to wait? Yeah. Now, did you know, have you ever heard of Five Nights at Freddy's?
I have.
Okay.
It's like a horror game for kids.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So what's this last thing you have here? It seems to be,
I didn't put it there.
785. That was totally you.
I was all kinds of excited waiting to hear what, because obviously you put it in there as like some kind of code. I have no idea what that is.
Penn just put in 785. Your cursor was there for like ages. All right. Well, moving on. We got trailers.
I think we have some doozies this week, or at least one really good and one so bad that it's pretty good.
All right. So the first one is a teaser for Clifford. The Big Red Dog.
Do you remember earlier, like 96 episodes ago, when I accidentally watched the wrong trailer?
Only 96 episodes ago?
So this trailer is for Clifford the Big Red Dog, which looks like fun. It comes out, what, in like late 21 or something like that? This is a teaser trailer. It's going to be a cute kids movie. I thought the trailer was fine, but there's not a whole lot to talk about. It's a teaser, and the purpose of the teaser trailer is to show you what they're going to make Clifford look like, right, which I think, you know, they nailed, and I'm excited, and I give it sort of thumbs up, and okay, looking forward to it. But before I watched the Clifford the Big Red Dog trailer, I Googled Clifford the Big Red Dog, or maybe I just Googled Clifford, and I got a fake trailer for Clifford that I kind of enjoyed. Like, I kind of watched the whole thing.
Wow.
Even after I rather quickly figured out that it was a fake trailer. So if you can find a fake trailer for Clifford, I recommend it. You can tell that it's fake because it runs like a solid 2 minutes, and it's rated, it says that the movie's rated PG-13, which, you know, it's not going to be. And it also, the trailer description bills it as a science fiction adventure film, movie.
All of these things, I mean, are ways that you would tell a trailer would be fake, but I feel like you've missed this a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, it totally did. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have another kids movie called Boss Baby 2, Family Business. All right, did you see Boss Baby 1?
No.
I don't know. People tell me it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the same thing.
I'm not going out of my way to see it, but they tell me. This trailer, it looks pretty funny. I mean, for a kid's movie. I'm cool. Good on them.
Good on them. I have an interesting perspective on this trailer.
Oh, no.
I've never seen this trailer.
Wow.
But I have listened to this trailer at least a dozen times.
Really?
We are currently playing Croods and War with Grandpa at the theater in Ephrata. So those are two kids' movies, both of which have the Boss Baby 2 trailer attached. So the door to, if you've never been to Ephrata, the theater is right across from the concession stand,
right,
each auditorium. There's two auditoriums, and the door to each auditorium is right across from the concession stand. So in order to prevent people from walking into the wrong auditorium, the movie that's getting ready to start has the door propped open while the movie that's waiting to start is shut. So every single set, I hear this movie, the trailer to Boss Baby, at least twice, once obviously for each theater. So like I said, I've never seen this trailer, but I've watched it twice, or I've listened to it a million times. And yeah, I'm on board. I think this movie sounds cool. And if I have some reason to watch it with a kid, I'll look forward to seeing it.
They have a magical bottle that turns people back into babies for 48 hours or something like that.
Yeah, and there's some line about, like, we stick together, we got your back, because that's what families do.
Yeah.
Dun, so, dun, good. Dun.
So good.
If you would like, I can also recite the trailer to Peter Rabbit 2. And on Croods, I have the trailer for War with Grandpa playing, and on War with Grandpa, I have the trailer for Croods playing. So those are the four trailers that I could recite at a moment's notice.
Cross-marketing like never done before.
Right. Yeah. I'm the man. Now, this next trailer, Murder Me Monster.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to kill myself trying to figure out how to get this movie in Lititz, because this looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of two subtitled movies we have here, which I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of.
Yeah, I
because
agree.
Because of everything going on, we're just going to start seeing more foreign films. And it's a horror film about they find a girl without a head, and they accuse her boyfriend, and he's like, no, it was a monster. And then they go on a, like, they try and figure out the murders, and there's a monster, I guess.
This is my trailer of the week. I thought the trailer was excellent, and I even enjoyed everything. Usually this is like a throwaway, like, who cares? But I will say I even enjoyed the end credits is the wrong word, but title treatment might be, like, how they, like, like they said the Murder Me Monster. It had three M's along, like, the top, and then it was, like, this cool bright red, and then it had three M's along the top, and then murder popped up, and then me popped up, and then monster popped up. I just thought it was stylish. I liked the style and the content and everything about this trailer. And I also found, when I was trying to find the trailer, I found a, like, a 1 minute clip, which was very interesting. So Murder Me Monster is 100% on my radar. I recommend watching the trailer, and I'm going to try to get it. We'll see if I can find it or not.
Well, this next one, this is my trailer of the week.
Really?
And it's our second subtitled film called Slate. About a, I think it's in Japan, but an Asian woman wants to be the lead heroine, and she gets laughed at. But then I guess they find a magical film slate, you know, like they clap down, and when doing so, it turns her into a parallel world where she is the heroine, the real life heroine from the movie that she wants to be in, like mixed in with reality, and so she's kind of
wow.
Like, so it looks like a kind of funny, kind of cool sci-fi kung fu movie. I'm down.
I couldn't find this movie, so I didn't see the trailer. Where would we go to find this trailer if we wanted to see it?
I found an article about it on IO9. So you can find it there. IO9.
What's IO9?
IO9.gizmundo.com or IO9.com. It's a movie website.
I gotta up my game.
I know. Come on, boy.
Yeah.
Get on board.
Don't you have, like, a movie podcast or something?
Yeah, who would have thought?
All right, the final trailer of the week is Breach, starring Bruce Willis, and it's brought to us by Saban Films, known on this show for being four-walling movies. What that expression means, if you've not listened to the earlier podcast, four-walling is when a studio has some sort of obligation to play a movie in theaters, but they know that no theaters will play the movie, so they literally pay the movie theater to run the movie, like to sell tickets and book
right.
the movie.
Right.
It's a very unusual, it's usually just something studios do to fulfill an obligation. So that was the first thing I noticed about this movie. And then the second thing I noticed, the trailer started and I kind of zoned out until until Bruce Willis stood behind a flamethrower and aimed it at a bunch of zombies and said, "Barbecue, anyone?"
And then you were like, "I'm in."
Right.
Give me sort more.
I don't know. What did you? I thought this looked like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Am I being too harsh?
Oh no, it definitely looks like a waste of time. It does say at the end. I left it in there, but it does say at the end. You know, it's video on demand and select theaters. And I'm like, well, this seems like a video on demand. It just seems weird to me that Bruce Willis is now in that realm of film.
Right. Right.
So.
Well, it's a paycheck movie, and you know he's an iconic, legendary actor, but I don't think he has ever established himself among the uppity ups. You know, people with their pinkies out. You know, and therefore, I think he's free. He don't have to worry about his reputation. He's free to just go make paycheck movies. You know, and what that means is he can go crank out a bad movie. It costs him a few weeks of production, and then he takes home a few million dollars. I would do it.
Why not, right, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That takes us to the end of the trailers. Are you ready to get into this week's movie?
I don't think I am. teacher, I need some more time. I've seen this movie and loved this movie, but I feel totally inadequate to discuss or review this movie.
Really?
How do you feel?
I saw this movie, and I was struggling to remember the last time I wanted to leave during a movie as much. I did not care for this movie at all.
Oh, my God.
This was Uncut Gems.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Yes. This movie. Okay, look, let's go positives, right? Acting is good. Cinematography is good. Cinematography is good. Right?
David is putting his hands together a la, what's his face? Austin Powers is the evil guy.
Yeah. And I really like the way that they made the film look old timey. They even put the little like circle blips for the change of the reel in it.
Cigarette burns.
Yeah.
Those are known in the industry as cigarette burns, and it indicates to the projectionist when it's time to change a reel.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I thought that was really cool. However, the fake black and white was really annoying. It just didn't feel like a real black and white film. And it was like someone who was really good at writing dialogue, but not good at writing a screenplay, wrote a ton of dialogue, and they were like, how do we fit this together? And then they're like, we'll figure it out. So they just filmed the talking parts and no panning of the camera or setting shots or anything. So it's just talk, 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 hard cut, talk, 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 hard cut, talk, 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 hard cut. So it was Uncut Gems if someone took Uncut Gems and slowed it down and lowered the volume and just continued the that is the talking noise. Subject-wise, it was fine. I thought it was told really poorly, the way that all the every 2 minutes was a new flashback. I did not enjoy this film.
Are you done?
I may never be done.
Is there anything else you would like to do to contribute to what will certainly be replayed come Oscar season when this picture is crowned Best Picture?
This film, Best Picture?
This film, I'm telling you right now, is the best picture.
Get out of there.
Take that to the bank.
Emma came out this year. Emma was
I'm not
so
saying
better.
It's my favorite picture. I'm saying it's a lock for best picture.
I'm sorry. I have to go.
All right. Here's the deal.
Now tell me. Tell me what's
here's,
up.
Teach here's,
me.
Here's the deal. I'm going to enlighten you.
Bring me to that higher level that I've also been trying to get to.
Right. I'm going to try my level best to bring you along.
Oh,
so please. That you're – I don't want you – see, I care about you, David.
Me? Little
yes.
old me? I'm just
yes,
an everyday
little
guy.
Old you. I care about you. I don't want you walking the streets of Lancaster, embarrassing yourself, telling people, like, oh, Mank was Uncut Gems slowed down. Oh, Mank sucked it. I didn't like Mank.
That's how I open all conversations.
Here's the deal. Let me enlighten you.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to bring you along so that the next time somebody bumps into you and is like, oh my God, you're David Moulton from the Penn Cinema podcast. And you'd be like, hey, what's up? And then they'll be like, what'd you think of Mank? Then here's what you can say. This is Mank is an iconic movie that will decades from now mark a point in time where people will be talking about Mank for decades to come. This was a masterpiece.
That's so confusing that it works.
All right, here's my review. Okay. Like, if you had let me go first, here's what I would have said.
Okay, yeah, please, please.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
I don't have all positive things to say.
Oh.
I thought the film, the best word that keeps coming to my mind about this movie is masterpiece. I think this is David Fincher's masterpiece, and he has made some incredible movies, as we all know. He made Fight Club. Did you know he was involved with House of Cards? I mean, he was involved in a lot of incredible work, and the man has a resume that he should already be proud of. But this will now top his resume as his best work. Now, with that being said, if this movie was a book, this would be a thick hardcover book with no pictures and tons of words in small print. It would be a dense, dense book.
And it would work.
Oh, you're saying it would work better as a book than it did a movie.
That's what I'm saying. This movie was like someone wrote, was really, really good. Because it's not the dialogue isn't bad. Really good at writing dialogue, but really bad at writing a screenplay.
Well, do you know what's ironic about that statement?
What's that?
David Fincher's dad, Jack, wrote the screenplay.
Really?
Yeah. Now, Jack is no longer with us. He's passed away. So David Fincher's late father, Jack, wrote this screenplay, and it was David Fincher's lifelong ambition to be able to make this movie.
Oh.
So actually, the comment that you're making actually does make a lot of sense, because the screenplay was written by a guy who's not around anymore to either improve on it or comment on it or shepherd it along.
Right.
And yet David Fincher, an A-list director, has access to all the best script writers in the world. So it would make perfect sense that his beloved father's screenplay might not be at the same A-plus level that the talent that David has access to for screenwriting and dialogue and stuff. So that's very perceptive that you pick up on that subtle difference. I had not picked up on that until you pointed it out, but I do fully agree with you. It was like talk, 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 hard cut, talk, talk, talk.
Yeah. No, it's the dialogue is good. The acting is good. It was the pacing and stuff that really just, it was so much information. So constant that I had a hard time.
Here's the comment that I made at the end when I was talking to somebody shortly after watching this movie. I loved this movie. I want to see it again. I'm going to watch Citizen Kane before I watch my second viewing of Mank. For me, my problem with this movie is that I felt like a lot of it was over my head. I felt like there was a lot of stuff being discussed, being talked about, being referenced, being alluded to that I missed, you know, that was over my head. And by the time you got to the end, when the main character, Mank, shows up drunk at that dinner party and he has that incredibly long, I guess it's called a soliloquy or monologue would be the better word there. By that time, my brain was completely fried. I was tired. I didn't really understand what he was saying. And yeah, it actually is kind of a long movie for being constant talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very grown-up movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is really for grown-ups. This is like, I don't know. I stand by my original comment. I think this movie is an absolute masterpiece that people will be talking about for many, many years. I think it hits some really strong notes regarding Hollywood and regarding inequality, you know, and a variety of other things. But I did feel as though a lot of it was over my head. Yeah. I felt like I wasn't knowledgeable enough to follow all of it. So I want to watch Citizen Kane. I want to read some more reviews about Mank, and then I want to watch it again.
Yeah, having not seen Citizen Kane in ages, I was lost as well. I know when I left, I was talking with Encyclopedia Brown, and he's like, well, you know, we're getting mixed reviews and people come out, like, what do you think? And I was like, I really did not enjoy it. I told him the same thing. And then I turned to him and I said, you need to see the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, as you love film, you need to see this movie because it's a movie for people who love film.
Yeah. This, if you consider yourself a cinephile.
Yeah.
If you're the type of person to use that uppity word.
Pinkies out.
Pinkies out. What's up? If you like to go to dinner parties and impress everybody with how much more you know about movies than they do, then you need to see this movie. And I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I definitely thought of like a few uppity film snobs who I was thinking like, you have to see this movie. So I'm on this, I have a text chain, I guess you call it, like a group or whatever, with all of the board of directors for the Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah.
So I texted all of them, and I was like, you got to see this movie. And now that I'm sitting here talking to you, I feel like I may have oversold it.
No, I really do think that if you love film, like, you're going to love this movie or at least enjoy it
in some
capacity. My complaints aren't saying that it's a bad, like, the content isn't bad. It's just the presentation that bothered me.
I think you can sum it all up by saying that it's a masterpiece. It might not be for everyone.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. All right. So let's, you ready to move on?
I am.
Okay. Well, we don't have any listeners' notes, feedback, answers, questions, or spontaneous sponsorships, since you were asking for that last week.
Yeah, that's weird. It's
crazy, right? So weird. But we can move straight into what are you watching, what are you doing, how you living this week. So you want to go ahead and take us off on this
week? Yeah, I'll get cracking. I've had a really good week. We reopened Ephrata, and so what that means is, so Ephrata is different because it only has two screens, and I've been working all the shifts. And what's interesting about two screens is once you start the second movie, like in Lititz, you have 14 or 15 screens, depending if IMAX is open. So by the time you start that 15th movie, the first movie is pretty soon to let out. And plus, you've been so busy serving all those people that there's a lot to do in between those things. Ephrata is on a much smaller scale. So once you start that second movie, you easily have 90 minutes of downtime. You know, you restock the concession stand, you sweep up the lobby, that takes a minute and a half. You know, so I've been spending a lot of time, like, online, reading articles, daydreaming, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I have to say, the girls and I have had a really solid week of entertainment.
Oh.
We picked up Apple Plus.
Oh. You're that one person.
I'm that one person, and I'll tell you why we picked it up.
Okay.
We picked it up for Ted Lasso.
Oh.
You ever heard of that show?
No. Mm.
Jason Sudeikis. Now, I'm not going to try to tell anybody whether or not this one show makes Apple Plus worth it for you, but it made it worth it for us because this show stars Jason Sudeikis as a American football coach who gets drafted – or not drafted – gets a job in London coaching European football, i.e. soccer, which he knows nothing about. He got brought over by the team's new owner, who is the ex-wife of the original owner, and her mission is to make them all fail, just like what was that baseball movie, Major League?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they want them to fail. So comedy ensues. Jason Sudeikis is amazing in this movie, but the whole rest of the cast is equally amazing. Do you know the actress Juno Temple?
Ooh,
rings really a bell. Familiar. She had a small role in The Dark Knight Rises. She's been in a bunch of other small things. She has she's one of the main characters of Ted Lasso. So Ted Lasso is amazing and hilarious, and we watched the entire series in like a couple nights.
Wow.
We also watched a Kristen Stewart movie called The Happiest Season, which was on Hulu. Co-starring a bunch of people you know, but I can't, like, name them off the top of my head. And it was all right. Like, we enjoyed it. We laughed. We thought it was, like, a win. But I'm not saying that you need to, like, drop what you're doing and go see this. Hmm. It's like an easy romantic comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's what we're up to.
Well, like I said, I watched Iron Man. I have a group of people that we decided to start watching through the Marvel movies to watch through them. And there's a big argument on what's, you know, how do you do it? Do you watch through them chronologically? Do you watch through them in production order? Definitely write in podcastpencinema.com. Tell me what you think. Normally with these type of things, I'm like chronological. But the reason with the Marvel movies I don't do that is because of the stingers in the trailers, because they all lead and like hype you up for what's coming next. And if you watch them out of order, the stingers don't necessarily make sense or have the same type of hype. And to me, you know, having watched these movies as they came out, that was such a big deal that mm-hmm. I just can't. So there was a lot of things with that, but it was very interesting how many people in the group, I would say more than half the people I was watching this had never seen Iron Man, and they had maybe seen like some of the later Avengers stuff. Now they were like younger, but I was still shocked that they hadn't seen
that. That is shocking.
They weren't too young to have seen the movie. They were just like mid-20s. And
yeah.
And I was just shocked that they had never seen Iron Man before. And the Marvel movies that they had seen were so sporadic and all over, which is kind of part of the reason we were watching them is because the one girl's like, her younger brother just wants to watch Marvel and she wants to connect with him. And she's like, but I'm so bored. And I said, she's like, I don't know what's going on. And I said, well, if you watch them in order, it makes sense. And she was like, right. Oh, I never tried that. He just picks randomly whichever one he wants to watch. So we're watching it with him and his friends and stuff. So anyway, so Iron Man. I also watched The Aeronauts. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that. That's Eddie Redmayne, right?
Yeah, and Felicity Jones. And finally got around to watching that. That was our Thanksgiving view. And pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
And it was all right. I mean, Felicity Jones is always top-notch in my book, so.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and here's the, you know, of course, there's been Star Trek coming out, and I've been watching the Star Trek, and I've been loving it. And you know, Discovery and Picard, and I've been talking about it for weeks, whatever. I'm not going to harp on that. But let me just tell you this, Penn.
I just need to tell our listeners something.
Yeah.
We keep show notes.
Yeah.
So that we remember we're organized and we remember what things we want to talk about.
Yeah.
And show notes are pretty basic. There's, you know, we don't grade on spelling or punctuation or anything like that. And we, you know, sometimes we cut and paste and sometimes we write it in, whatever. So I wrote Ted Lasso and Happiest Season. David wrote Iron Man, The Aeronauts. And then, so as to make sure that we all understood the intensity with which he expressed the desire to discuss this, he has Mandalorian written, Mandalorian! Exclamation point.
All caps.
So this is all caps. So, you know, I'm reading these show notes and I hear David screaming at me, Mandalorian!
Pen.
So I feel like you're excited to tell us about this.
Pen. This is some of the best Star Wars.
Oh my God.
The first 5 minutes of episode 5, season 2.
Right.
Might be the best Star Wars we've had since Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Might be. I mean, it's hard to say because it involves things that like have been building up or characters that have been created past, but are you familiar, and I know you're not, with the character Ahsoka Tano? She's like one of my favorite characters, and they finally made her a live-action character in The Mandalorian, played by Rosario Dawson. She looks badass. She looks awesome. And I'm looking at her doing her thing, and I'm like, remember Rey and how not cool she was? Why didn't they do this for a cool female character? If they wanted to sell toys to girls, why didn't they do this? It's so cool. Boys and girls would have bought these toys. But instead of Rey, where nobody wants them. I'm just saying.
So let me ask you this. Is this more about how much you love the new or how much you hate the old?
It might be a little bit about how long it's been since they've done something good.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is also, like, if you go online, like, everyone is like...
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. I did see that where... Like all my friends, everybody's kind of posting like, how come this hasn't been, all the Star Wars movies haven't been like this?
Right.
Yeah. I want to say, I think I remember saying a few weeks ago, probably many weeks now, but this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like this is why I don't hate streaming, because without The Mandalorian online at home, all these millions of people watching it wouldn't be talking and thinking about Star Wars. So the next time a Star Wars movie does come out, the fan base remains connected and energized and, you know, on board. For better or worse, I'm not saying the movie's going to be better or worse, but I'm just saying, like, it keeps the fan base together and engaged.
I 100% agree. I also think I got the question last night. I told a guy who kind of soured on Mandalorian. And I'm like, ooh. I was right there with you. Like, at the end of season one, I was like, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I don't really care that much. And then the first two episodes came out, and I was still kind of like, it's kind of more of the same. But then I've been telling him, I was like, gradually, every week, it's been getting better and better. And then I told him, you got to watch episode five. Like, it's absolutely amazing. And he's like, I don't know if I want to put in the time just to get to episode five. Can I watch it on its own? And I was like, if you know The Mandalorian, if you know it's The Mandalorian, and he has the child, and he's trying to get the child home. Those are the three things you need to know. The rest of it is just like, you know, like an episodic thing. Like, he always goes somewhere and does something. And it doesn't, they kind of roll together, but you don't really need to know. I was like, you could totally just put on episode five and watch it and be totally fine and not know anything. And so my encouragement to you, Herr Ketchum, is to go home and watch episode five of The Mandalorian.
I might do that, but I think what I probably will do is go watch episode five so I'm psyched, and then go back and start rewatching it from the beginning. Because I watched, when it first hit, I watched the first few, and I don't think I hung in there to the end of season one.
Okay.
So I need to go rewatch that. But I'm excited. I think that's awesome.
Like, even if you just watch the first 5 minutes till the like theme music comes on, like that's enough to like get you in.
Pumped.
Yeah.
Pumped.
So all right. So what are we gonna do next week?
Well, next week we have a few different titles. One of which is this comedy called Half Brothers. You want to see that?
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty funny.
I don't know what other, you know, we don't have, there's not a lot that comes out. Let me see, I forget. There's one other, All My Life, which is a romantic comedy. So a comedy, you remember the trailer for Half Brothers, right?
Yeah. Also, I don't think we're going to get through All My Life without me singing Boys to Men or whoever. All my life. Someone like you.
How do you not have a record deal?
It's a mystery.
The eighth great wonder of the world.
Yeah, my voice, my singing voice specifically.
What was the? Hang on a sec. What was the movie title? The unbearable weight of massive talent. The David Moulton story.
It's true. I can't hide this kind of talent. Yeah, all right, let's do Half Brothers. That looks pretty funny.
I'm down. I'm going to try to talk the girls into watching it with me. Whoa. I think it has potential to be funny. And
now, are they still talking to you? I saw they went to brunch without you today.
They went to brunch. And I mean, I have to say, in fairness, they invited me, but I had to work in Ephrata. So I'm here in Ephrata slinging popcorn, doing my thing, and they're out living the good life. But they did, in fairness to them, they did invite me. But can I just say, wasn't that a beautiful picture?
It was. I will say that I didn't get an invite. Hurt. Rude. Thank you.
That's weird.
I know. I mean.
So 1 week you're getting shut out of Crudes.
Next week I'm not invited to the Ketchum girls party.
Now you're off the brunch list. That's a shame.
My life is spiraling. All I have is my singing talent to fall back on.
All you have is episode five
of The Mandalorian.
Will they ever take that whole collective effort and make a Mandalorian movie?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in a movie.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, look, if you want to get in touch with us, the best way you can do that, shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We want to hear your questions. Give us an answer. We'll come up with the question. No big deal. It's great. So just go ahead, podcast@penncinema.com. Now, if you want to support the show, the number one way you can do that is what, Penn?
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone, send a fax, put a message in a bottle, tell a friend.
Yeah. Say you're in the theater, the ads haven't started, just get up in front and have like a full statement prepared. Dear friends of the audience,
the longer the better.
Yeah. Might I tell you about this podcast? I begin my TED talk with.
Have you been in the theater early enough to see the ad for the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Love that ad.
And whenever I'm with people and it starts to play, I'm always like, hold up. We gotta listen to this.
Hold on. What's up? Does that voice sound familiar? Yeah, what's up?
You know that? That's me. All right, cool. Well, we'll see you next week. So once again, for the podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.